afternoon, and welcome to Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery in for Shooting from the Hip. This show is brought to you by Sim Trainer each week. Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine. It's just across the street from the DP&L Maintenance Yard and south of the river on Dryden Road north of the I-75 exit. So if you'd like to stop by there, we'd love to be able to give you a tour of the place, show you some of the things that go on there, maybe explain some of the classes that we have available. And we have an unusual situation right now. We've had this happens very rarely, and especially with this class because it's a small class. We have a basic handgun class. It's a great way for people who are in the process of selecting a firearm that they want to use either for self-defense or recreational shooting. But we're talking about typically the 9mm or a similar type of self-defense caliber. And maybe they've been through our first shots class and got some experience with a 22 or may have shot one before, but haven't really figured out what firearm works best for them. Maybe they've been to a gun shop and held several different ones in their hands, figured out which ones they don't like, because that's pretty easy to do when you just hold the gun in your hand. If it doesn't fit you very well, that's a pretty easy way to tell that it's not the right gun for you. But until you've actually had a chance to shoot the gun, it's sometimes difficult to figure out which one is the right one. And that, along with complete understanding of all the safety protocols that are necessary anytime you handle any firearm, and the basic fundamentals of placing an accurate shot, that's what we cover in this basic handgun class. And this class is not full, and that's pretty unusual. Usually this particular class, because we only allow 10 people in the class, that class usually fills up pretty quickly. And in fact, there have been several times when people haven't been able to get in the class for several months. So we do have some additional slots open in this class. A class starts at 4:00 this afternoon. I realize that's pretty short notice, but if you would like to get into that class, you can call the range at 293-3914 and get signed up for that, and then come on down and be there by 4:00, and we'll get you in that class. Now, we're going to offer a special deal on that because we'd like to see a few more people come into the class. So if you bring someone with you, if you and a friend or you and your spouse come down and take this basic handgun class, you get it 2-for-1. So the normal price for this class is $100. And that includes the use of all our firearms. You will still have to buy ammo in addition to that. But for the special for today only, the 17th of August, is that you can get that class. If you come and bring somebody with you, the two of you come down, you both of you get that class for just the one $100 price. If you are coming by yourself, we'll give you $25 off of that class. And as a special sweetener for this deal, you also will get the first year of an associate membership included. We normally don't include that with this class. We normally do that only with our first shots class. But because we'd love to see some additional people come down, and I know there were several people who had been interested in wanting to prepare for go through the basic handgun class to prepare for taking concealed carry and getting a license to carry a concealed handgun, this is the perfect class to do that with. So this is kind of a rare opportunity. It's not something that we do very often. In fact, it's not something we really can do very often simply because the classes are usually filled way in advance. But because there is still some space in this class, if you want to be part of this class this afternoon, you're free. I realize the weather outside is gorgeous, and you may not want to leave the outdoor activities that you have going on, but if you would like to come down and take the basic handgun class this afternoon at 4:00, call the range at 293-3914 and head on over there, and we'll see you after the show. If you would like to be part of this show, you can call the studio at 457-1290, and we will get your calls up on the air. I'll try to answer your questions. Whatever they might be having to do related to firearms, whether that be concealed carry and the concealed carry laws, things that might be pending in the legislature, which there are several. Even though they're out of session, there's been some activity going on there. If there is a question that you have, maybe a rumor that you've heard that you'd like to find out what the straight skinny is on that, we'll try to get those questions answered as well. So if you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio here, 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. Take your questions typically in the order in which they come in. So we try to get everyone in if we can. The earlier you get in, the better chance that you have. We unfortunately have had some times when we've left some people hanging on the air, hanging on the phone when we ran out of time. And I hate doing that, but we are rather dictated by the clock. So thanks for being part of the show today, and we'll move on. One of the things that we talked about last week, and it's something that I found, it came to me in an email, and I noticed, read through some of it. It was a gun violence messaging guide. It's available on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. You can click on that article and download it, read it. It's about 80 pages. It's written by a marketing group. These are people who are professional messengers. They're messengers. They are people who craft messages in a way that will allow them to get that message across. Marketing is their specialty, and understanding how to punch people's buttons is what they do. And they have put together a guide that was obviously paid for by someone in the anti-gun movement. Although when you look at some of the people and some of the other things that they've worked on, I don't think they had to work very hard to convince them to do this project. And there are some things in here that just caught my eye. I printed a copy of it off, and as it happens, the printer ran out of toner just as it got to one section on the Second Amendment. And so that may be where we start today, simply because that kind of drew my attention, and it's something that I'm rather passionate about. For anybody who has been listening to this show for a while would recognize that. The Second Amendment, for those who may not be familiar with it, is 27 words that describes your right to keep and bear arms. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that is the basis upon which that right was defended. It's not granting that right. It only says that the government must not do anything that gets in the way of the inherent right of individuals to keep and bear arms, because a well-regulated militia, which means basically everyone who's an able-bodied American — at the time it was men, but it really applies to anyone — should be able to defend themselves against whatever the threat might happen to be. So if that's a threat to the country, it could be a threat to your individual. But what they're talking about is that the being able to do that is something that is a right that must be protected from government infringement. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But I'd like to go out to the phones, and let's talk to Craig, who's calling from St. Mary's. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've got a question. I've recently acquired a Lee Enfield 303 military rifle.
Yes.
And with it, I got approximately 250 rounds of ammo. It's military, military surplus ammo. And what I need to know is, I'm not sure whether that's corrosive or non-corrosive ammo. If it is corrosive, would it be okay to shoot it if I clean the gun thoroughly after each time I shot it? Not every shot, but each time out.
Yes. In fact, much of the ammunition that was made, I'm thinking prior to the 40s, was all corrosive ammunition, and there is still ammunition now that's made that has a corrosive primer. Basically, what that means is that there are some salts in the primer that leave a residue that will corrode, and it will pit the barrel if you don't clean it out. Now, it's not something that happens instantaneously. It's something that that would happen over time, but as long as you thoroughly clean the barrel every time, and the entire gun every time that you go out and shoot it, which really is what we recommend doing anyway. When you come back from whatever the range activities are for that day, just lay out the newspaper, get the gun cleaning gear out, and carefully clean the guns, and then corrosive ammo is not a problem. I have some ammunition at home that is corrosive ammunition. It's just because of the nature of that particular gun. It's for a Mosin Nagant, and quite a bit of that ammunition does have corrosive primers. So that's really not a problem. In fact, you know, when I was growing up, that's most of it. And that's part of the reason why my dad made such a special point of saying, every time we go out to the range, we always clean the guns.
Hey, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thanks very much for calling the show.
All right. Bye.
One of this whole thing on this gun messaging aspect is something that, as you read through this document, you can actually hear the words of some of these people as they get in front of audiences, as they get on the media, as they get interviews, and they're just taking these words almost exactly verbatim and using them to convince people that the problem is the gun. They like to use the term gun violence. Frankly, it's not about the gun. If somebody is going to do violence and they have the capability to do that, they are going to do it regardless of what tool they use, and it really doesn't matter what the tool is. The one thing that is true, though, is that the most effective means of self-defense is using a firearm, and even then, if you are attacked and you have to defend yourself using deadly force, you still have about a 1 in 5 chance of being seriously injured. We'll cover that some more, but let's go back out to the phones and talk to Bill, who's calling. Bill, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Fine, great.
Hey, I just wanted to call back. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you guys on the left, right-handed shooter with a left eye, dominant eye.
Yes.
And you guys had given me the tip about putting my right cheek on my shoulder.
How did that work for you?
Oh, my goodness. I went back in. I've got a new gun. It's a Walther, little 9mm. But anyway, I was hitting bullseyes. I mean, it was doing much better, and I want to thank you for that advice.
Well, you're very welcome. That is one of the techniques that we use pretty routinely for people who have that condition, a left eye dominant and right-handed, or vice versa. We call that cross-eye dominance. And and that is a very effective means of taking care of that. And it makes it no longer a problem. It makes it something
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It makes it so that it's not a problem. It's just the way that you shoot.
Yeah, I tell you, I was getting so frustrated. I thought maybe I should switch to the left hand, and then I was bringing it over to my left eye. But anyway, I thank you very much, sir.
Well, Bill, thanks very much for calling the show. We do need to take our first break for the hour. We'll get back to the phones when we come back. Mark is waiting from Dayton, and we'll take your calls at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can call the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 will get you into the master control suite and get you up on the board, and we'll get your calls in the order in which they come in. And right now, let's go out and talk to Mark, who's calling from Dayton. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a grandpa that passed away, and I'm sorry to hear that. Set to receive about 21 firearms. He's in Kentucky, and I know I'm not very wise about guns, so I don't know if I'm allowed to transport them from Kentucky to Ohio, if I'm allowed to own them, do I get to register them? Pretty much a newbie here with firearms.
There is a special exception in the law for firearms that are received through an inheritance. So you do not have to go through an official transfer process. You could just go down there, pick them up, and bring them back with you. There is no registration in Ohio. There's no need to register guns. There's no need to have them so-called safety checked or to file serial numbers with anyone. It's a good idea if you keep an inventory list of them for yourself so that if something were to happen to something, you would be able to identify the guns and be able to report serial numbers and so forth of anything that may have been stolen. But there's no need for you to do any kind of a registration process, and you can just go down there and pick them up and bring them across. Because that's a special case specifically for inheritance that does not apply in any other case. Normally, because he's in Kentucky, if you were to go get them, you would have to have them shipped to a dealer here in Ohio, and then we would do somebody like us would do the transfer and take care of all the paperwork and the background checks and so forth. But as long as you are not prohibited from possessing a firearm by any kind of legal issues, which I assume is the case, Right. Yeah, then there's not anything else that you have to do. Now, in terms of not being familiar with them,
would I have to have any type of paperwork to carry with me in transporting them?
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, there's no paperwork required for that at all. I mean, you can transport your own firearms, which is basically what they are at that point.
Right.
And as long as they're unloaded and you have them, you know, secured in the vehicle in some way, it's best if they're in cases. But if they're not and they're in a compartment that can't be reached from within the vehicle, or if and they all do need to be unloaded. But okay. Other than that, and so you don't have a lot of experience with firearms from that. And so what I do strongly recommend is that you get some training and that you do that before even you go down there so that you'll be able to do that. I'm going to have to take a break here for the news at the bottom of the hour. But there's a couple other issues that I'd like to go over with you. So if you can hang on through the news break, then we'll do that when we come back. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we will get you up on the board. You're listening to 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and for Shooting from the Hip. And we're glad that you've been able to join us this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. I offered a special deal at the beginning of the show, but if you've just joined us, I don't want you to miss out on it. We have some available slots in our basic handgun class this afternoon. It's the perfect class to use to get ready for taking a concealed carry class and learning how to carry a firearm for self-defense in that later class. This is just to help you select one and to work through the basic fundamentals of grip, sight alignment, trigger control, the basic fundamentals of safety, how you handle the firearm safely, the four basic rules of how to properly hold a firearm regardless of the condition or type of firearm. We cover all of that in this class, and there are still some slots available, which is very unusual. Usually these classes fill several weeks or even months in advance, but we do have some available slots in this class. So if you'd like to bring a friend and come down, the two of you can come for the same price that one person would normally pay. That class is $100, and we will get you two for one. If you'd like to come by yourself, we'll give you a $25 discount. And on top of that, you also get your first year of an associate membership free, and that associate membership is normally $75 all by itself. So you'll be able to come down this afternoon at 4 o'clock if you're available, and we'd love to have you do that. You just call the range at 293-3914. You can also go to our website at sim-trainer.com, and there's a registration link there. You can fill in that information, and we'll have that then ready for you when you do come down to the class this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So we'd love to have you do that. It would give you an opportunity to try several different firearms. You'll have to purchase ammunition on top of that, but we do have that available for all of the guns that we use in that class. So if you'd like to do that, you can, again, call the range at 293-3914. If you'd like to join the show here, the number at the studio is 457-1290, and we'd love to have you do that. Just before we went out to the break, we were talking with Mark in Dayton, who had some questions about guns received from an inheritance. And Mark, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was making sure that when you have these guns that you learn properly how to handle them. It sounded like you haven't had much experience. It wasn't something that had you ever shot any of these guns before, for example?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
There are some very basic protocols. And again, if you'd like to come down to that basic handgun class, even though these may not all be handguns, the fundamentals still apply. That would be a great way for you to get those basic fundamentals and understand the proper and safe way to handle a firearm and how to check it to make sure that you know the condition of that gun, to make sure that it's unloaded for transport and that sort of thing. Now, is there somebody down there who will be able to do that with you, or are you just going to go down and pick them up?
I'm just going to be going down and picking them up. I did purchase a rather large gun case, though, to house them all here in the house.
Okay.
I don't have any kids, but I still want to keep them locked up.
Sure, that's a good idea. That's an excellent idea. That's just being very practical and safe with the firearms. You definitely want to do that.
What about military issue weapons? Now, he was in World War 2 and Korea and brought weapons home from that as well. Are those legal for me to have?
That depends on if they are fully automatic and if they were registered with the ATF. If they were, then you will need to transfer those. So you'll need to be able to tell if that's the case, and those will need to be transferred. That's a completely different process from a normal firearms transfer. You have to also get permission from your local police department. There's a form that you need to fill out, and then it takes about 6 months for that, typically, for that to get done, and that's a completely different situation. But if there's not any of those weapons are not select fire, in other words, they don't have either a full auto or burst mode, then that would not be an issue. So something like
if they're not full auto.
Okay.
Full auto.
Well, if they're not full auto, then that's not a problem. So like something like an M1 Garand, an Enfield, Lee Enfield, that some
Enfield is one of them.
Okay. Yeah, those are all perfectly fine. The M1A, which is basically the civilian version, the non-fully auto version of the M14. And any of those other types of firearms that would have been, certainly handguns, would all also be okay.
So what about, like, a German Ruger pistol, that's not an issue either?
No, that's not. In fact, that's one that you want to be very careful about in terms of keeping a good, careful eye on, because those are highly desired. And that's something that we would be more than happy to help you with down at SimTrainer. Also, our armorer would be glad to go through those and make sure that they're all in a condition that makes them, that they would be safe to shoot, that they've been maintained in a way, or that they have, that they still are functional and safe to shoot, that they haven't been either shot out or have parts broken and that sort of thing, springs. Sometimes that happens after a while.
Well, there's six of those on the list.
Okay. Six Lugers?
Yes.
Oh,
is there an option to bring them to you guys? Have you guys look them over?
Oh, we would be happy to do that.
Okay. So I really would like to know what I have.
Okay.
I'm not interested in selling or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I would just like to know where I have and just get a base point of condition, functionability, and then at that point start working on, getting trained.
Okay. Yeah, we would be, we would stand in line. In fact, you'll probably draw quite a crowd.
Really?
Oh yes, there's a lot of people down there who are interested in guns for their historic value, and sounds like that what you have inherited is a real treasure.
Oh wow, I had no idea. I was just nervous of the transporting and keeping them safe within the house, and I've got a closet that I've emptied out and put this huge case in that weighs about a ton.
Right.
And it's behind the door, so I'm more interested in keeping them safe and locked up and preserve them, if anything.
Right.
I would like to know what I have.
Okay. And some of them would be ones that you will probably be able to shoot. And some of them may be ones that might be in a condition that if you shoot them, you would reduce their value. And you may not want to do that if,
right.
when you find out some of these things that you have. So we would be more than happy to help you do that. And the other folks, particularly for some of the older guns, the folks at the Ohio Gun Collectors Association would be able to help you with some of those as well, and we can refer you there. So,
The Rugers themselves, I'm reading here on the paper, have paperwork that comes with them that shows where,
provenance,
when, what era, and what part of the campaigns that they were found. So there's history behind
there
it.
There absolutely is, and those with that kind of provenance proof of the history of the gun, that increases the value significantly.
Wow. I had no idea.
So you have been left quite a treasure by your grandfather, and although I'm sorry he's gone, he's certainly left a legacy for you that will be, I think, you should cherish for a long time. So
absolutely. Buddy, I appreciate your time, and I will make it a point to come down and see you guys here in the coming weeks.
Mark, thanks very much for calling the show, and good luck with that wonderful new acquisition. Let's go out and talk with Beth, who's called in from Greenville. Beth, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. This is so informative. It's really a blessing to be able to learn so many different things and to talk to the people who are in the know.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, do you happen to know if a person who had a traumatic brain injury and had a gun, would they be able to take any firearm classes?
That... Well, that would depend on the nature of the injury and what was affected. I don't know if
there is. You don't know of any law against.
No. There's no law against it, unless there is. Sometimes the injury has psychological effects that makes a person dangerous to themselves or others. If that's not the case, then that would be somebody who would have been through a court process called adjudication. And at that point, then that would be a different situation. But as long as that's not the case, there is just because it's a traumatic brain injury. If there's some we had somebody that came down and took our concealed carry class who had had a traumatic brain injury and only had use of one side of his body. So he had a wheelchair that he could drive both wheels with one arm. He had learned how to load his revolver with one hand and shoot it and did everything. It did quite well from his wheelchair. So, a traumatic brain injury by itself is not a disqualifying event.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So thank you for helping me be a little more in the know.
Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling the show.
Yes, well, just keep on going.
Well, thank you very much.
And don't forget the Great Dark County Fair.
All right. That sounds like a fun place to be.
That's growing up here in Greenville, just as a little child, we always called it the Great Dark County Fair. We didn't know why. It was just the Great Dark County Fair,
That's just what it is.
Exactly. So as an adult now, I realize that, hey, it was called that for a reason, because it is great.
Beth, thanks very much for calling the show.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go out to Les, who's calling from Jamestown. Les, how can we help you today?
Yes, I had a question. I was thinking about this the other day, and I haven't really researched to look it up. But talk about different gun crime statistics and that type of thing. And I was just curious if anyone had ever done a study to see if there was a correlation between the areas where they have high gun crime. If there was also just the same issue with just violent crime in general, and so therefore it isn't necessarily a matter of gun crime as it is just crime, period.
And a correlation with that crime compared to what?
Well, as to areas where if there's low gun crime, is there low crime in those same areas?
I don't know. If that particular type of study has been done, obviously that's something that you can pull from the uniform crime reports. There's some of that kind of information, and you can look at those and see the different types of violent crime, and then whether they were firearm related or whether they were some other way. And that information is available. We have links to it on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. We talked a little bit last week about the preliminary 2012 data that is now available. And I just happen to have a copy of it here, but I'm not able to look at it. I'll maybe take a look at it during the break and see if there's something that I can pull from that. There is a book that was been written called More Guns, Less Crime that shows that where there's more gun control, that in many cases, that is also an indication that there is likely to be more violent crime because there is less risk to the criminals and there's less possibility that somebody would be able to defend themselves. So basically more soft targets. Seen that in several ways. But that's a different kind of question from the one that you're asking.
Yeah, well, but it would seem to me that that would actually kind of speak to that question because it seems like the areas, as we've seen, that have a high degree of gun crime are also the areas where they have a high degree of gun control and therefore you have more crime in general. So maybe it's just a matter of more crime and not necessarily more gun crime per se.
Well, in fact, it's the whole focus on gun crime by the gun control advocates is specious. It's not one of the, it doesn't actually have any significant meaning because crime is crime. A violent crime, we have reported that the person that attacked the 90-year-old woman on the bike path a few weeks ago, someone has been arrested for that crime. No gun was used. That was just a crime of violence against an individual, and it really doesn't seem to matter what the tool is. If you have a predator who's willing to do something bad to someone else, That's the problem. And unless you're able to stop that from happening right then, that's the time that it's most needed. We need to take our last break for the hour. Les, thanks very much for calling the show. If you'd like to be in the last few minutes, call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.
This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Thank you, Uncle Ted. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad that you've been able to join us this afternoon. Let's go right back out to the phones, and we'll talk to Lonnie, who's calling from Miamisburg. Lonnie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
We're doing great. How can I help you?
My son just picked up a 9mm Smith, and I was talking to the gentleman, and we were talking about slide stop and slide catch. Now, taking the course at Sims Trainer, we were taught not to rely on the mechanics to close, to charge the weapon.
Correct, by rack the slide every time.
Rack the slide, thank you. Would that method to the madness apply to a slide stop?
A slide stop and a slide catch are basically the two different names for the same thing. It's a slide lock lever. There are multiple different names, but basically it locks the slide to the rear when there's an empty magazine or when you put your thumb up on it to hold it up as you release the slide. It catches the slide so that it holds it open until, it gives you an opportunity to look into the action and confirm the condition of the gun. And that also puts the gun in a safe condition because it obviously can't be fired with the slide locked open.
Yeah, I was noticing that it seemed like that, of course, they were different manufactured guns and everything. I was noticing it seemed like that some of the weapons that we were shooting the other day seemed like that the action was all the way back and then some wasn't. Like there might have been I'll just throw out a number, say a quarter inch difference.
Yeah, that's probably true. And each of them some of them have a little bit more distance that it will travel back or come back forward before it catches the slide. And that's just a little bit, that's just about the way that particular manufacturer designed the gun, how much the slide travels during typical recoil, as the gun fires and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because what brought my curiosity up was is when he put his next clip in magazine in for the next round of firing, when he fed it, the slide just shut.
Well, that will sometimes happen if you really slam the magazine in hard, and you should always double check to make sure that a round actually did go into the chamber, because it is possible to hit that and have the slide. Basically, the slide bounces back just a little bit, and then the catch releases, and then the slide comes forward, but it may not have had the magazine fully seated when it did that. So you should always do what's called a press check and just open the slide slightly and look in to make sure that it caught a round. Lonnie, thanks for calling the show, and I'd like to move on to Mike now to see if we can catch his last question before we run out of time. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi.
Hey, what I wanted to bring up was transporting weapons, across various states.
Right.
As I'm an Ohio resident working in Virginia, unfortunately, I have to go through Maryland on October 1st. They have a whole new bunch of laws that go in effect.
Right.
And while there is a federal law that says you're allowed to travel across states as long as you make the gun safe for whatever that state considers safe for transport.
Mike, I got about 10 seconds.
I would just want to warn people that they ought to look up those laws before they travel on any of the eastern states.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much. And I have put a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/simtrainer, to the U.S. code for that. Anybody who is having to go through travel in prohibited zones, you might want to take a look at that and follow those rules very carefully. Everybody, thanks very much for being part of the show today. We're out of time. Be with you back next week on Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.